In the U.S., as the November election draws closer, we are hearing about lots and lots of polling information. The polls claim to tell us which way America is leaning on a host of issues, the war in Iraq, health care, and, of course, who is on top. But what do all these polls actually measure, and how reliable are they? Day-to-Day's Eric Weiner has a report.
It's 7 p.m. and you're sitting down to dinner. The phone rings. You don't recognize the number on the caller ID. Do you answer it? Chances are you don't, and that's problem number one for pollsters these days. But let's say you're bored or lonely or, hey, maybe you actually like exposing your political soul to a complete stranger, and you do answer the phone. The first thing the pollster is going to try to determine is if you're one of those most coveted of respondents, the likely voter. That's problem number two. People tend to bend the truth. So as Larry Sabato, director of the University of Virginia Center for Politics, explains, the pollster will ask you a lot of nosy questions.
Did you show up at this election? Did you show up at that election? Well, people do fib in responding here, or they misremember. Maybe they thought they did vote. Maybe they want you to think they did because they know a good citizen turns up at the polls. So this screening for likely voters is a complicated process.
Let's say you pass the test. You are indeed a likely voter. Now it's time to answer the bigger questions about your political views. Subtle differences in vocabulary can yield very different results. If I ask you, how is President Bush handling the war in Iraq, you might answer one way, subconsciously picking up on the patriotic touchstones, war and president. But if I ask you, how is George W. Bush handling the situation in Iraq, you might answer another way. Or what if I ask you about welfare programs? Larry Sabato says here, too, wording is crucial.
If you use the word welfare, far more people are going to be opposed to spending money than if you ask about supporting programs to aid the poor and the needy. Wording matters. It matters enormously.
So does the order in which questions are asked. For instance, if I ask you a lot of questions about the economy and then ask you whether you think President Bush is doing a good job, you're more likely to give him a lower rating than if I flip the questions around and first ask you about the president, then about the economy. Okay, you've answered the tough questions. Now the pollster will want to know who you are, your age, your race, and especially your gender. That's because men and women respond very differently to polls. Men, it turns out, are more likely to change their minds. Dick Bennett runs a polling firm in New Hampshire.
Men will say, Kerry, today, call him tomorrow. And they'll say, well, Bush. Wait a minute, didn't you say Kerry? Yeah, I said Kerry, but I changed my mind. And a woman will say, I'm not sure. I'm considering both.
20 or 30 minutes later, the pollster thanks you for your time and then adds your results to the 1,000 or so other lonely people they've interviewed. 1,000, by the way, is the industry benchmark, much lower than that, and the results are unreliable. Now their work is done. Well, not quite. If a poll falls in the woods and there's no news organization to report it, is it really a poll? Frank Newport, editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll, concedes the answer is no, but too often, he says, the media gives too much credence to flimsy polls.
Journalists probably wouldn't do it. If Dr. John Smith sent over a study saying apricot pits cure cancer, they would say, well, you know, let's ask medical experts and compare it to other research. Yet there is a tendency when John Smith Research Incorporated does a poll and sends it over, journalists will simply report it.
Of course, the media do report a poll's margin of error, but it doesn't mean exactly what you think it means. A 4% margin of error means 4% for each candidate, so it's really an 8% margin of error. That's why you need to look at a bunch of surveys, a kind of poll of polls, to gauge the public mood. Even then, says Larry Sabato, polls are far from perfect.
Almost every poll is inaccurate in at least some way, and no single poll can ever project the future. It can only describe the present and past.
True, but polls do more than measure public sentiment. They shape and inform our worldviews. In physics, there's something called the observer effect. The mere act of observing an experiment can affect the outcome. Likewise, if polls show a candidate with a wide lead, people tend to rally around that candidate. The poll becomes a political fact, no less real than a war record or a domestic spending plan. Or, as the physicist might put it, polling data in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner.